they're going to have attitudes that are definitely going to facilitate their involvement in integrated situations. I have a group of people who, all of whom were at one time or another in mental institutions. And now we have a leisure group that meets once a week. And the biggest problem is motivation. Those people, they're really afraid to explore our city and its recreational opportunities because they're afraid they won't be able to do things the same way other people do or do them as well as other people do. And it really makes me want to say, you know, the way you do it is fine. You know, you're just fine. Just go do it. But that's real hard, and it's taken a lot of support and a lot of time and trusting leadership to start bringing that out and having those people start investigating their own interests and needs in recreation. But in the institution, they just went to recreation, and it was not voluntary, and all they learned were lists of games. But somewhere they missed an attitude that would really have been the key to getting them success to being successful back in the community.
A little story I'd like to tell. This spring we did a training with the Human Services Department of the state of Iowa at Mount Pleasant Mental Health Hospital. And part of the training, we had the people from the workshop conduct a festival with the patients from the hospital. And it just sort of relates to the idea of the empowered player and involvement. The next week when they had their activity session, each of the patients in the session had an activity that they wanted to lead, their favorite activity from the festival. And we got, you know, we were told about this in a letter that the director of the hospital had written to us. He had never seen anything like that coming out of that hospital, where the patients were actually saying, well, I want to lead this activity here, and this is what you do. Here are the rules of this game. And, you know, that they suddenly had an area of their life where they were in charge. You know, that there was really no other aspect of their life where they had that kind of freedom to say, well, this is what I want everybody else to do now. Let's do it. It's a little thing, but it means a lot to people.
Ready to go on to applications?
I think so. Are there any questions at this point? Okay, we'd like to talk about some specific applications. Whoops.
Put it to use.
Here we go.
Boy, it's cold up here. This
is
crazy.
It is. Quit giving musical chairs. Okay, there's a lot of different ways that you can employ. You want to stand up for a while?
No.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to stand up here?
Yeah.
Why don't you stand there and I'll sit over here.
All right. There are a lot of different ways you can use new games. You can go back and, you know, really institute it into your facility, into your community, into your home. And we just started brainstorming and listed a few things. We'd like to just, maybe we could do some group brainstorming. So as I talk in these things, if you have things that you would like to add or you see possibilities or things that you've done, be sure to just shout them up. First of all, I'll start with special events because New Games has a festival model that seems to be very successful where we do, you know, large community special event. And what happens at a special event for people with disabilities very often is that it's segregated. Is that all the people with disabilities get together for one big special event. Now, there's a lot of emphasis on this, that this is very good because it makes the community at large aware that there are people with disabilities. It also has one very good thing going for it, is that the people with disabilities have a real chance to be in control, and they are really focused on during that period of time. A lot of, you know, they're the star, and a lot of positive things can come out of that. However, I think if we really want to talk about changing attitudes of the general public towards people with disabilities, we need to get people interacting, and not on different levels. Not, I'm going to sit in the stands and I'm going to watch the people with disabilities do this, but rather, let's all play together. And once, it's amazing what happens. You know, people have these blocks in their heads about working with people with disabilities. And a lot of it is simply fear. But as soon as they get in a real supportive, fun type of environment and start playing with people, those blocks just tend to go away. You know, and they're like, hey, that's just another person there. And lots of fun things can come out of that. And I know a lot of Special Olympics programs are incorporating new games as a component with their Special Olympics program. So there we have a nice combination of competition and you know, a lot of high challenge with a new games event that can allow family members to get involved and allow everybody just to play for fun.
Also, new games is something that, in terms of many different kinds of special events, can be integrated as a means of making that somewhat participatory. But a lot of times our special events are they're audience directed. Having some games there is one way of making that an interactive and a participatory activity when it might otherwise not be.
In Iowa City, we held a large special event and called it the Celebration of Abilities. It was games that everyone could play, but there was a special emphasis on involving persons with handicaps. Because I know realistically, if I say we're having a special event for the general public, that more than likely the people with handicaps won't come because they just assume that they can't participate. And so we put that in the publicity. But we did have a lot of different people playing together and involved lots of hands-on arts activities as well. And it was a lot of fun. And I know it's being done a few other places now very successfully. Another way to use new games is with staff development. People who work in the human services field very often have a need for some kind of feedback. Lots of times, I know I don't get feedback from the people I work with. And it gets frustrating. And so I really like to get together with other people who work, you know, in the same profession. And you're making silly noises at me. And
just being playful.
And we get together and play games. And it's a great way for us to get to know each other. There's a lot for interagency relations. And a chance to relax and just get some contact with other people who kind of share our interests and commitment to our field. And I know the Social Services Department in Johnson County is crazy over Do-Do-Do.
That's
them playing that game once. They couldn't stop. So staff development is I think, a very valid use of new games. Should go on to sheltered activities, which we do, providing activities on a continuum from sheltered to integrated. If I'm going to have a celebration of abilities, I may run a series of sheltered new games play sessions. And out of those play sessions, we get a lot of referees. And so when we go into the celebration of abilities, it's the people with the disabilities who are refereeing and who really know what's going on. And sometimes people need that extra input. And they need a little, you know, involvement so that when they get there, they can really be successful. They can really be involved. Sheltered activities can focus maybe more on behavioral controls if that's needed, more on some specific skill development if that's needed. Burton, would you like to speak to any of this?
I think I would like to speak to group unification.
Okay.
We have this term called a GUT, which stands for a group unification task. G-U-T? Cute, easy to remember. It's the kind of thing where if I said, well, you know, could we all get it, could we do it so that all of us, say, are standing on one of these flowers here? Silly thing, you know? Very silly to do. Adults don't do that. The process of attempting that kind of a challenge does amazing things for a group, even the silliest of challenges. We take these big ropes and play a game called Islands, where the island keeps getting smaller and smaller. Just that challenge to the group of, can you do this? Those kind of challenges to a group tend to really unify them without having to separate those of us who might have stronger abilities out from those of us with lesser abilities. It shows the fact that, you know, we all have to challenge ourselves to be able to accomplish this task.
That can work really well with, I have a friend who works in a residential treatment center for emotionally disturbed boys, and they were having a lot of trouble on their field trips, you know, like a lot of disruptive behavior. And what they started doing before every field trip was having a gut experience. And they really, sometimes it was cleaning out the van. You know, sometimes it was almost work-oriented, except they, you know, infused that with a lot of play, a lot of playfulness. But something to get those boys together so they felt like a group and they started feeling responsibility towards their group. And also they started feeling like they could share and be playful with each other. Really transferred into what happened when those boys left that institution.
The whole question of how New Games works into a residential care center is, in a way, it's much more challenging because the idea of having to change games and keep them new becomes much more real. The quick surprises go very quickly, and then you're left with, okay, well now, how do you keep their attention into a game? But there you really start getting into the ability to see how the game can evolve. What is the way in which this group would like to play this game? I know that what happens when people find a game they like is that they rarely discard it because they've played it a number of times. And I would imagine that most people here have a favorite game, be it anything from basketball to Scrabble, that they've played probably for the last 10 years and will probably play for the rest of their lives. It's no different with any game. The challenge of keeping a group together to play, even if it's just a game that takes a few minutes maybe before a meal, it's an interesting way of bringing a group together. But it has a very positive and, you find ways to make that experience of being in an institution a little bit more playful, as difficult as that may seem. Anytime you can do that, you're making it a little bit easier for that person to live in that institution.
I found that my involvement with New Games has been tremendously good therapy for me because it's really opened me up to being more playful and spontaneous. And
you?
Me. Yeah. It's hard to believe. I found like getting more and more blocks to that kind of behavior as I went through adolescence and then, you know, young adulthood, and all of a sudden it's pretty frozen. And starting to let those blocks go has really worked well for me in working with other people. And so playfulness isn't something you just do from 3 to 5. You know, it's a way of life. And it can make a lot of difference to other people when you share it with them. Yeah, that just about says that. We might make mention, too, about a lot of people have asked me, how do I, like, if I have a sheltered activity, I have people coming, they're similar abilities, and they come every week for an hour, how can I do a New Games program? What I usually suggest is just start playing games with those people and go from there, but rather not come out with 8-week schedule, we're going to play this game and this game and this game, but just find what works for your people, introduce some new ideas, and just start letting it build. You may find you have a very different program than what you anticipated. Another approach is to just infuse the New Games idea into everything you're doing, whether it be an arts activity, a swimming lesson, no matter what's going on, you can use the New Games attitudes can be very effective.
Well, say a conference presentation. I mean, how would you involve all the players in a conference presentation? I mean, if they don't ask questions, how are you going to involve them?
Well, let's
Any
see.
Questions?
Give me a question I can repeat into the tape recorder. Let me just give you a little example. Were you here for the play session?
Yeah.
Okay. We did a training. The question is, how could you incorporate New Games with somebody with handicap and everybody?
Varying ability level.
Okay. Let me first of all say that we can't do miracles. Okay? You're not going to find a game that you can get one paraplegic in a wheelchair and two deaf-blind kids and one middle-aged person with behavioral problems playing a game with some preschoolers. Okay, you can't bring everyone together in every game. But a lot of very simple things can be done. For example, there was somebody who was blind in one of my workshops recently, and when we played the game Killer, it was so simple to just make a tickle on the palm when you're shaking hands instead of a wink. And we found that having someone there with that disability made us look at all the games that we were playing and saying, well, do you really need to have it? I mean, maybe we could change this so that sight doesn't become that important a function in this game. It's a very difficult answer in a way, because it doesn't give you an easy answer. I can't say, well, here's an example of how to play this game with this with people with this disability. If I gave you that answer, it would be like writing all the rules down every time. You know, it's taking away from the basic idea, which is trying to be spontaneous.
it's,
I don't know if it's cold out there. I'm just very cold up here. So that we're trying to ask people to take the harder approach. I mean, it's much easier to say, well, here's a basketball, play with it for an hour, and then I'll lock it up. You know, you don't have many accidents, and you don't have much interaction there. It's much more challenging to say, well, try and find a game that you would enjoy playing, and honestly relating to that person, find out how you can involve them in it. Is that the answer?
Mm-hmm.
The answer? What another question here? I really feel much warmer when I get questions. No other questions?
Yes?
First of all, I'd say that we did an interaction thing in my summer camp with different levels of ability, and it worked out pretty well. What I have a little trouble understanding is why you guys have all these rather expensive training sessions when it's so simple.
So simple yet so complex, that's what I always say.
Simple, well, you know, it's like somehow when you say a simple answer once, it seems too simple to people. In terms of the cost of our training sessions, I'd be glad to show you a breakdown on those costs. We are a nonprofit agency and no one's carrying away the money that I've been able to find. You know, the reason why we have training sessions is that we're talking about trying to take an attitude. And an attitude is not an easy thing to change. And we felt that in terms of trying to get people to change their attitudes, or at least to look to see whether the other attitude might have as much validity as the attitude that they've held, it's not a simple or quick process.
I'd like to agree, though, that in many ways it is that immediate and simple. You know, when people ask me sometimes, well, how do you work with, you know, so-and-so who has particular disabilities? That, well, I mean, you just get in and you play with them. I mean, that's all there is to it, right? When you do that, you start learning that. But I would agree with that. I found at trades, particularly with people in recreation, that they enjoy getting together with other people in recreation just to sort of validate the fact that they're really not crazy. You're doing this too, you know, and also sharing of ideas and a real energy boost. On the other hand, do find people who would consider new games a very radical approach, and not at all. It does not come simply and easily to them.
I would also say that an important part of developing yourself as a leader is to develop yourself as a player. And unfortunately, the recreation profession does not score very well as players. A lot of us are really, it's been a while since we've played, and I see a lot of people who are closer to my age here than a lot of other people at this conference. But I think that that's a real important thing, is to, first of all, know your fears as a player, to know what kinds of things you want to play and what kind of things you don't want to play. That's a real important thing to knowing how to lead those activities. That again takes a while to get somebody to start looking at those kinds of things. You know, at the same time, I really encourage people to take the simple approach and get some games books. You know, we have a games book that we like, but there are a lot of other games books that are just as good and have a lot of activities that you can just start changing the rules with. And that's the basis of the idea. Hello. question is there a new addition to the new games book? This is a rumor that I've been trying to start for months now. Hopefully by the time it reaches mammoth proportions, we will actually have it published, but it'll be at least a year or two yet.